go ahead.
You know, flash it anyway.
Flash the three based on the injury. Your dauber may be down, right? You've got the furrowed brow going on. Flash the three.
Remember, we got Ayton, and the Coyotes scored a 5-on-5, including Clayton Keller. Okay?
DeAndre Ayton plays tomorrow night, as a matter of fact, right?
It's all right.
In Denver, correct?
Yes.
I got that right?
DeAndre Ayton, here's how you can help us. Tell Von Miller that you're going to kick the Nuggets' butt. You're going to go in there and tell Denver who's boss.
That's right.
How about that? I don't know if I really believe that, but yeah! Everybody's
working for the week. You know, that really is kind of the feeling that I have. Just the fact that Von Miller was able to say what he said, to call out the team the way that he did, and then you go out and play the way the Arizona Cardinals did. It was an embarrassment to the organization, and it reminded me of Lawrence Taylor, ladies and gentlemen. You want a piece of my heart? Lawrence Taylor had a habit before most games, before the first play from scrimmage actually started, of walking up and down the sideline, the other team's sideline, meaning our sideline, walking up and down telling everyone what he was going to do to him. And then he did it.
You know, there were so many things that Steve Keim said that just kind of like, wow. And out of all the things,
when you saw the timeout call on the second play of the game, what were you thinking?
Same thing you were.
That's scary. If he was thinking the same thing I was, because I had about 500 different thoughts, which were borderline. How in the did that happen? Who is preparing this team? How do you not get yourself ready? And is there any more doubt that Mike McCoy should no longer be the offensive coordinator? I mean, those were my thoughts. And it's unfair to Steve to say, well, I guess that's what Steve is thinking too, because I don't know if he knew exactly what I was thinking. But when he says that, I respect the fact that he doesn't want to fire Mike McCoy on the radio, and you have to respect that. Imagine what that says to every assistant coach in the NFL.
Mike McCoy finds out he's gone on his way into the building today.
But at the same time, let me just say, it's got to happen.
Steve Keim has already been in the building, right? He's already been in the building, and so has Mike McCoy for hours.
I would hope. And how many times, Paul, as you were listening, did you hear the phrase, tough decisions need to be made?
Oh, yeah.
Which to me was code for the decision's been made, but it's just not the time to announce it yet.
Yeah, foreshadowing. It's coming. Well, remember, in the rebuild of the Cardinals, he cited the 58-0 loss at Seattle. And
yes,
there's no doubt.
Yep.
It felt like that. It wasn't quite, and I sort of surveyed a number of guys who happened to be on that field, like yours truly, 58-0, and they said, no, it's not quite that bad, .. But it was close. It was close enough where, guess what? A loss, that means someone's going to lose their job. That's how bad. And it was the catalyst then for change, and it will be later today.
I totally agree. I think even though it wasn't the last game, if my memory serves, it wasn't the last game in the Cowboys era.
It's what they cited at the end of the year when they knew.
It became the final straw, I think. And you then asked Steve about the 58-0 loss and whether it feels the same.
It does. It does. It's, you know, when you're in this situation, man, it's lonely. But at the same time, you find out a lot about yourself. You find out a lot about your organization. And you have two choices. You know, you can curl up in a ball and hope it goes away, which it's not. Or you can come out swinging and fight.
That's
and,
so
true. You know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm coming out swinging like hell.
Yes.
And that's what we have to do as an organization.
So true.
And hopefully that's what permeates throughout, you know, this building, the locker room, and
right,
you know, it starts from the top down.
Sorry for talking all over you, Steve, again, as you are actually answering the question, but it's so true. There's only one way out, and that's to swing your way out.
It was interesting earlier this morning, John Clayton had said he doesn't think the fact that it was on national television matters. And I
disagree.
I totally disagree with John on that. And here's an example. Right now on NFL Network, they just flashed the sign. Out of the seven games this year, the Cardinals offense has scored under 20 points six of those seven games. And it's not unfair to expect a team to score 21 points. And then, as you mentioned, Wolf, the Broncos defense scored more than the Cardinals offense in this game. And now what happens? You've got all Friday morning for your NFL Network. What are they going to talk about? They're talking about upcoming games and how bad the Cardinals are. I mean, that's the only topic nationally is that embarrassment. How do you not do anything right now?
Not only is it embarrassing, but it further forces your hand to react and to show that you won't tolerate that sort of outcome, that sort of quality of product on the field. How can you not look at the offense and say, the offensive football IQ has fallen by like 100 points? Mm-hmm. You know, and then there's losing, and then there's the eyeball test and what it looks like. And yeah, you got clowned at home, and then you got ridiculed on NFL Network. If you watch some of the coverage after the game, the Cardinals are the butt of many jokes and many
Aikman,
one-liners.
And I don't blame Troy Aikman for this, but Troy Aikman was kind of joke. You could hear the tone of Troy Aikman's voice, which was, why am I here? I'm the number one guy on Fox. And I don't think it was an arrogance. It was, I got things to do. I shouldn't be here. Right now on Good Morning Football on NFL Network, here's the question. And just let this sink in, because this is a national football show. And the question is, which rookie is the bigger problem? Josh Rosen or Steve Wilks? Fair or unfair, that's the paid network of the NFL staring down your organization. There's no way people survive today. And then, fair or unfair, because it's your first year, I think Steve Wilks officially moves to the hot seat because of how bad it was. Not because he's 1-6, but because the lack of fight that was shown last night within two confines. That you have to put this in context. National television, Von Miller. If it's 45-10 any week, that's bad. But to be told this is what you're going to, and they didn't fight. I mean, the players didn't fight. The coaches weren't prepared. It was such an embarrassment. The city is embarrassed today. I would have to assume the owner is.
If you're not the most talented team or you're not the smartest team, you can make up for it with superior effort. None of those boxes got checked last night. They didn't bring any of the above, and just the mental errors alone from the get-go shows that they weren't buying in. Now, is that the sort of player they have, or are they just not buying in to the coaching staff or their assistant coaches?
I mean, this is classic media, though, what they're doing right now, because Steve Wilks is not going to be fired by Sinonians. I'm just telling you that right now. He's not going to be fired, okay? And Josh Rosen is not a problem. Yeah. He's not a problem.
No. When you say he's not going to be fired, I'm assuming you mean within the next 24 hours.
He's not going to be fired this year.
I would say, listen.
There's no way they're going to fire Steve Wilks this year.
I don't think this will happen, but let me play devil's advocate. They lose 45-10 for five straight weeks.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. They're not going to fire Steve Wilks.
You know, the effort I saw last night, I put everything in question.
They're not going to fire Steve Wilks. They may fire everybody else, but they're not going to fire Steve Wilks, okay? Well, in his first year as the head coach. That's just me. I could be dead wrong on that. Don't believe I am. I think if there's one thing you could build a church on, Steve Wilks is not going to be fired before the end of this season. Having said that, Josh Rosen as well is not a problem. He's part of the solution and will be, I believe. I'm not saying he's a franchise quarterback. That's not what I said, but I don't see him being a problem.
You know, Steve Keim referenced several times making tough decisions that are not popular. And I wonder if the GM is evaluating this, saying, you know what, his rookie head coach has been failed by the two coordinators, Mike McCoy and a rookie defensive coordinator. You know, I think there's a valid argument to be made that he would be well served by experience in both positions, of which he doesn't have.
I so agree with you on the Mike McCoy, but I look at the Al Holcomb thing, and I got to put that on Wilks. I look at Steve Wilks and say, you wanted to bring him from Carolina. You said he was ready.
And you're probably right about that, Doug Lace. You can lay that on Steve Wilks, but it's not going to get him fired.
No, I agree with you on that, but I mean, do you really... I don't know if Al Holcomb gets fired, because I have to ask, what is Steve Wilks doing? I mean, he's running your defense and you're in charge of it.
You have to put it on Steve Wilks.
Yes, yes.
You ultimately have to. He's the guy that brought these coordinators. He's the guy that brought this coach and these coaches. Here, I'm not saying Al Holcomb, ladies and gentlemen, is the problem, because, again, honestly, I don't know, because I'm not in that room. I don't know. Steve Wilks also is a defensive-minded head coach, right?
Yeah.
It's a collaboration, I'm sure, between those two guys. But the results
we are sure of right now.
I'm trying to read between the lines of what GM Steve Keim told you guys. And when you see Emmanuel Sanders wide open for what he called the easiest touchdown catch of his life, then I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of the GM of what he's thinking right now, because he used plural. He said tough decisions. If there's more than one, it makes me wonder.
What else? I missed the plural. You're right, Paul. Join Kevin McCabe and AZ Preps live tomorrow, 9 to 11, at the Chick-fil-A off the 17 and the 101 Deer Valley. You'll have the chance to win free Chick-fil-A for a year, Suns and Coyotes tickets, and more. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for details on the Chick-fil-A High School Football Roadshow Series. So what does a Super Bowl winning offensive lineman think of what the Cardinals just pulled off last night on offense? We'll ask former left tackle Max Starks next. On 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Arizona Sports. Breaking news.
It happened. So according to NFL Network's Tom Pelissero, the Cardinals have fired offensive coordinator Mike McCoy.
That's strange. I say it's strange where I do look at Steve Keim and say, why didn't you just say it then?
Because, all I know is... anyone that has listened to this show over the last decade, you know that I don't call for people's jobs. I can't stand it. I can't.
According to Albert Breer, quarterbacks coach Byron Leftwich is the new coordinator.
Is that right?
Congratulations to Byron Leftwich. I think that this is a job that's earned. What I can't wait to see is, what's he a product of? He's a product of the Bruce Arians offense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you actually change it right now?
Oh, no. He's not going to run the Bruce Arians offense, okay? I don't believe he's going to. Now, he may have elements, of course, of the BA offense, but I saw an offense that was not ready, obviously. We all saw it last night, and they did not respond to their coordinator, and I think that probably was the most condemning thing.
It wasn't
a lack of creativity. It was a lack of productivity.
Max Starks just called in on the Coulter Automotive Group sports line. Former teammate Byron Leftwich is the offensive coordinator of the Arizona Cardinals. Max, you know him better than any of us. Is he ready to be an OC in the NFL?
I believe Byron Leftwich is, guys. Byron is a guy that, you know, I spent a lot of years in Pittsburgh with him. I played against him in college when he was at Marshall. And Byron is just a great offensive mind. He understands the concepts. He understands the play of the talent that he has, and he's always maximized within whatever his constraints were. So I think that this is, you know, you hate to see a battlefield promotion in these type of circumstances, but I think Byron's ready to accept this challenge, and he's had some great studying under a lot of coaches. And so I think he will take a lot of those different elements and apply it and apply it quickly to this team, because he knows what they can do good. He's put eyes on it, and he's going to figure out a way to maximize all of his players.
Yeah, two things about this. First of all, I think Byron is going to be a head coach in this league at some point in time. I think that's number one. And number two, I would say this. How much do you think he's going to use and incorporate a BA's offense going forward?
I think he'll have some elements. I think you'll see some of the route tree combinations. I think he will push the ball a little bit more vertically. Given the situation, I think you will have one or two where he's going to use the long play action. But I really think that he's going to get creative with the motions on how you get into the run schemes. It's not going to be as predictable. Mm. And, you know, because you look at last night. I mean, just take last night, for instance. You're calling timeouts because you can't get your wide receivers lined up.
Yes.
And you use up two timeouts in that first quarter.
Yes.
And then you take another delay a game in that first half because you and the receivers aren't on the same page. I think he will simplify the language for those receivers because they didn't have these same issues a year ago. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what's going to be a biggest change that you're going to notice off the bat. We're not going to see all the timeouts and all the hesitation moving forward.
This is Max Starks, teammate of Byron Leftwich with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Byron Leftwich is the breaking news today. He is your offensive coordinator of the Arizona Cardinals as Mike McCoy was let go. It was reported by NFL Network just about 5 minutes ago. And we had Steve Keim on the show this morning, and he wasn't ready to announce it publicly, but he said there are tough decisions that need to be made. And Max, to put it, an easy, just kind of a softball, but explain why. I'm assuming you agree with the decision to fire Mike McCoy. Why? What happened? Why did this go so poorly?
I think last night was a straw that broke the camel's back. I mean, outside of the things that I just alluded to as far as the hesitation and the issues getting lined up when you come out, and you, those plays are scripted, by the way. When they were calling timeouts, those were scripted plays.
Yes.
And we talked about the do's and don'ts yesterday, guys. Don't throw the ball over 25 times. Commit to the run. We didn't see either one of those elements.
Yeah, absolutely.
Against a 32nd-ranked defense, you come out and you pass, and that's why you get a tip pass that gets returned for a touchdown. The effort to cover after the interception was lacking, and – It was the lack of just doing those simple things, lining up in 21 personnel. Heck, I saw Denver line up in 22 personnel at one point.
Oh yeah,
in the first quarter.
Oh yeah,
and said, "We're running. We have one wide receiver out here. We're daring you to stop us." And they got a 6-yard gain.
Yeah, absolutely, no doubt about
Great.
It.
So that is what leads me to this decision. Obviously, I wasn't on the bus yesterday with Hey Fire, and I was with you, Wolf. Give them an opportunity, but after seeing that, there's no denying it at this point. And I think that's what has to be. It was like, hey, they're going to come out, the mental errors, this, that, and the other. No, it was a complete lack of preparation on the coach's point as well as the player's point, and it falls back on the coach to not have these guys prepared to play.
There's
the fight. You remember, I told you this last night, Wolf. I said there was more fight when we beat Cleveland 56-0 back in 2005, then I saw out there with the Cardinals.
Max, think about this right here. This, to me, was probably it was the most condemning thing on the face of the planet. These players all knew that Mike McCoy was on the hot seat coming into this game. Stop and think about that. And think about what we saw and how they responded, especially in that first quarter. Emmy after Emmy after Emmy, breakdown after breakdown. Listen, it's not about creativity. You and I have had this conversation. Yeah. It's not about creativity. It's a lack of productivity. That was the problem. Yeah. And for whatever reason, the Cardinals players were not responding to Mike McCoy.
No. And the funny thing is that, you know, we talked about internal and external motivators.
Yes.
And about the whole Von Miller coming out and calling you guys out. And I know you don't need cannon fodder. You don't need the bulletin board material. But the fact that he made that statement, and then I said the indicting thing was that he said, make sure you put that in the paper.
Yes.
And then doubled down on his statement. It doesn't matter what your motivation is. That guy has called you out. He went across the border, drew a line in your sand, and said, I dare you to step over it, and guys blinked. And as pride, as a player, you I don't even care what my coach says to me at that point, because I know I need to go out there. I need to enforce my will upon those guys, regardless.
Yeah.
And it's a short week at home. You don't have to fly. You had a tough game, but those guys do. I want to make this guy in front of me feel worse than I feel right now. I want to make him feel bad for me feeling bad. And I did not see that fight. I saw it in moments with certain players, but the entire team atmosphere was just deflated. And it was in the first quarter. You could hear a pin drop. And it looked like a sea of orange out there at that game last night.
And once again,
and that would further piss you off.
Yes.
Should have.
And once again, I want to go back and say this, but I saw an offense that wasn't ready to play and didn't respond to their coordinator. And ask yourself this, Max. Do you want your quarterback, your future franchise quarterback, developing in that kind of paradigm? That again, was, to me, the metaphorical death knell.
Mm-hmm. Max, good to talk to you, buddy. Thanks for, on a short notice, thanks for calling in. Have a good broadcast this weekend.
All right. Thanks, guys. Y'all take care. Have a good weekend.
Okay, brother.
There's Max Starks calling in on the Coulter Automotive Group sports line. You can go to Coulter on Camelback.com, CoulterNissan.com, or CoulterTempe.com for your next new or pre-owned car. Really singing the praises of Byron Leftwich. And I've heard nothing but the same thing from other people. If you haven't yet subscribed to the Doug and Wolf podcast on your iPhone or Android, it's brought to you this week by Kinetico, and you can hear the Doug and Wolf show anytime you're ready. Up next, what's Gambo's reaction to the firing of Mike McCoy? Let's ask him next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
When you saw the timeout call on the second play of the game, what were you thinking?
Same thing you were.
That is the comments of Steve Keim. Thing he thought the same thing you were, and I think he didn't really mean me. I think he probably meant all of us, that this is an unprepared offensive football team, and why should the offensive coordinator remain? Did he say that? No, I'm totally putting words in his mouth, but that was what Steve Keim told us at 7:45, and then at about 8:05, I think it was, officially 8:22 is when the email came out, but at about 8:05, you had a tweet from Tom Pelissero of NFL Network saying, it's done. Mike McCoy has been relieved as the offensive coordinator of the Arizona Cardinals. It's Doug and Wolf here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, and every weekday afternoon. You can hear Burns and Gambo coming up from 2 to 6, and Gambo has just grabbed the Coulter Automotive Group sports line. Let me ask the easiest question that's ever been asked of John Gambadora. John, are you surprised this morning that Coach McCoy is gone?
No, Doug. Not honestly. You know, I got wind of that he was going to be fired no matter what. So to me, and I said this all during the week during my show, the results of this game did not matter. It didn't matter what was going to happen in this game. Mike was getting fired. The offense was a mess. The previous six games where they couldn't get 300 yards. So not surprised that he's fired. I think they waited for this time because of the mini bye. But I do not believe that the results, based on what I've been told, the results of that game had nothing to do with him. He was getting fired no matter what. Even if they won that game 30-10, he was going to get let go.
So, John, is this it?
You know, right now, I think it is. I mean, I think they've had some discussions about really going to the 4-3 on defense, too, and whether they can make some changes there. You know, the decision was really easy with Byron Leftwich. The only other guy who could have done it was Jason Michael, who, as you know, Wolf, I mean, called plays for Wiz in Tennessee as an offensive coordinator.
Right.
But I think they thought he was, you know, too close with, McCoy. So Byron's the guy that they wanted. There's not a lot, there's not a lot you can do. You can't change a whole offense. I mean, you could change protections. You could add a little more creativity, have some different play calling and things like that. But there's no quick fix here. There's no easy solution this far into the season. But the play calling has got to be better in the protections. I talked to some players this morning and last night and said, look, our inability to identify pressure, the inability to see the safety rotations, to pick out the Mike linebacker, to know, you know, which side they're overloading. I mean, it's just there's a lot of problems right now with this offense.
From what you know, John, tell me the relationship between Byron Leftwich and Josh Rosen.
You know, I think it's good from what I've heard. I mean, I haven't heard guys. Okay, you go back to the Chicago game. Mm-hmm. The first two touchdowns in the Chicago game were Leftwich plays called his plays. They were his plays. So Josh likes Leftwich. He likes his play calling ability. But if you go back to the Bears game, I've been told that those first two touchdowns were not Mike McCoy plays. Those first two touchdowns were Byron Leftwich plays. So, you know, Byron's got to change. The main thing's protections. I mean, the main thing is the offensive line and identifying. I mean, you remember the Minnesota game last week with Harrison Barnes coming down in the box at safety and them not identifying it and, you know, the sack coming. I mean, they're just – the protection schemes are terrible. I've heard McCoy's taken way too long to get the plays in. I've heard guys are yelling at him to get the play in on the mics. It's just been really, really bad. The relationship between Byron and Josh is evolving. I don't know how great it is, but I do think that they have a respect for each other.
So, Johnny, the other coordinators, right? The other coordinators, the defensive coordinator, special teams coordinator, Jeff Rogers, of course, Al Holcomb. You're not hearing anything about these guys.
No. I have not heard anything all week that there were going to be any other changes outside of this. I mean, you got to start somewhere. And it's not that Mike's a scapegoat. I mean, his offense was terrible. It's not that he was a scapegoat. I mean, this is as bad as it's been. Wolf, we talked last night, me and you know, at halftime. I mean, this is the worst
I've ever seen it.
It's bad. I mean, I've talked to a couple of players this morning. It's bad. It's tough to go to work every day. So this is the first thing that had to happen. I don't think there'll be any other changes. I'm not sure, but there'll probably be, like, you look at Vance Joseph, right? He fired Mike McCoy last year. There were 6 changes to the coaching staff this year, but the only one that gets talked about is Mike McCoy. Mm-hmm. There were 6 other changes to Vance. He had 6 new coaches in this year, but the only one that gets talked about is the McCoy firing. So that could come later on. I don't think it'll come right now.
Just to pile on, of course, the producer of the Bickley and Marotta show with a tweet today, as Jerick Harlan said, the Broncos got Mike McCoy fired twice. Which I don't mean to laugh on somebody else's grave, but I laughed.
The offense could have scored 4 touchdowns. They were firing him. It was the body of work over the first 6 games, the inability to run the football, to get Fitz involved and David Johnson involved. He was getting fired, and it was always Leftwich. We talked about that on our show. It was not going to be Jason Michael. It was always going to be Byron Leftwich, and it was always going to be after this game. Even though the players are on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and I know, you know, Wolf, you could talk about this. I mean, it doesn't help the players, but it does give the coaches a few extra days to start changing some of those protections and getting a little bit more creative with the offense and probably eliminating some of the plays that just don't work.
Well, make sure you're listening today at 1 o'clock. We're going to have exclusive coverage of the Steve Wilks press conference. It's at 1 o'clock, and he's going to then publicly announce the changes that's going on with Mike McCoy being relieved. So that'll be right near the end of Bickley and Marotta, and then you'll have Burns and Gambo reaction to the press conference coming up at 2 o'clock. Gambo, thanks. Good to talk to you. Okay, have a good show today.
You got, if I hear of any other changes, I'll let you guys know.
Please call back in. There's John Gambadori. You can hear him from 2 to 6 as he called in on the Coulter Automotive Group sports line. Coulter Automotive, you can go to CoulterNissan.com, CoulterTempe.com, or CoulterOnCamelback.com for your next new or pre-owned car. Again, you get the announcement, and I'm assuming, now this is an assumption on this part, that Byron Leftwich will probably be up there. I mean, why name a new offensive coordinator and not have Byron Leftwich there to answer some questions? I don't want to say I'm excited for the 2018 season, but I am excited to see Byron Leftwich.
I totally agree.
There have been so many compliments for this man as a human being, as a player, as an offensive mind, going as the, quote, coach on the field or coach on the sideline when he was in Pittsburgh, the way people talked about him, fair or unfair. Harold Goodwin got to call some plays in some preseason games, but there were a couple where they said, no, we're going right to Byron Leftwich and letting you calling plays. And I'm excited to see what he does.
Yeah, again, of all the plays that happened last night, Basinonians, it was the second play when they broke the huddle and they could not line up. It was the second play of the game. That is the one that continues to stick out. The second play of the game, they could not get lined up.
So David Johnson and Chase Edmonds are both in the game and they're both flexed out wide. 3 men wide to the right. And the Cardinals look like they're confused. David Johnson confused. So is Chase Edmonds. They're all looking to the sideline, and they have to call a timeout. Great start.
Try to keep in mind right now, these players all knew that Mike McCoy was on the hot seat coming into this game. And that's how you responded. Listen, you know what? Once again, Mike McCoy, it's not even the creativity. Don't use the buzzword creativity. It's the productivity, the lack of productivity. You can have a very base, simple offense. You can have a very predictable offense. Can you not, Bruce Arians? And you can still shred the league if you get execution by your players. And if you don't, you're in trouble.
And really, it's one of those things you don't have to go deep into. Since you couldn't get him to be able to get his players to execute, he has to go. Yet, that does tell you, about some of the players you've got in that room, that when your coach's job is on the line and that was the effort you bring forth.
You can have all the creativity in the world, and if you can't execute, you're still going to suck buttermilk.
And they did. Coming up next, what is the Denver reaction to the Cardinals' firing of Mike McCoy? They tried to warn us. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. You know, I feel like a lot of people in Denver were sounding the alarm bells trying to help Cardinals fans at the time Mike McCoy was hired.
Really?
And let me be clear, I wanted James Betcher as the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, and one of the major reasons why was because he was bringing Mike McCoy.
Yes.
So I don't have any ground to stand on at all. I was thinking, I want an experienced head coach in here to run an offense with a new quarterback.
Yes.
And clearly, I was dead wrong on wanting Mike McCoy. It did not work out. Whether it's McCoy's fault, the player's fault, doesn't matter. This is where we are. And it brings up a good opportunity to go to Denver and find out, okay, what just happened? Darren McKee has called in to the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. He's the co-host of The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on 104.3 The Fan in Denver. Darren, first of all, good morning. Second of all, do you see similarities to what Denver Bronco fans experienced last year with this offense? Should we have known as a fan base?
Good morning, guys. Yeah, you should have known. The similarities were stunning. You know, you have a first-year head coach, and you bring in Mike McCoy to run the show.
Yeah.
And I'll bet you anything, if you ask around in the Cardinals facility, they'll tell you, oh, no, Mike really thought he was the head coach. And that's exactly what happened. I'm guessing that. I don't know that for a fact. But that is what happened last year in Denver, because that's who Mike really, you know, sees himself as and what he really wants to be. And, you know, Vance Joseph for the Broncos had the worst time in the world communicating with Mike what he really wanted. And by the way, and you'd have to tell me, but Vance Joseph had like almost nothing to do with Mike McCoy being hired as the offense coordinator. I mean, really, it wasn't his call. So eventually he got to do what he wanted to do. And even now with Vance Joseph, it's questionable whether he's really hiring the coaches he wants or it's the GM that's doing that. So I guess I would put that back on you guys and ask you what that situation is like with Arizona.
Yeah, you know what, Darren? Boy, the similarities there. They're there.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. What you just laid out, the similarities are definitely there. But once again, Mike McCoy has such a stellar reputation league-wide.
I know.
What do you have to say about that?
Let me tell you, he's a great guy, too. Like, I definitely consider myself friends with Mike McCoy. I've had just countless of great conversations with him. And it just, I don't know, man. Everything is muddy with Mike McCoy's offense. Everything is, I'm listening to your broadcast because we were actually broadcasting at your station. And then we were driving over to the game. And I'm listening to your broadcast, second play of the game. I mean, myself and Alfred Williams, my radio partner, were dying with laughter listening to you guys talk about how you got to call timeout on the second play of the game and what a mess it was. I mean, we're like high-fiving each other in the car like, yep, we've seen that before.
Wow.
And it was a disaster last night from the get-go. But that being said, your offensive line is just, I mean, terrible. I mean, it is so bad. And I have no doubts Josh Rosen is a good quarterback. You tell me, is that Mike McCoy's fault?
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, again, I don't think Mike McCoy was working with a lot of stuff, but I do know right now, listen, you've got to be able to go out and execute. And a lot of people like to point to the lack of creativity with Mike McCoy for the most part.
Yeah. Right?
A lack of creativity. Darren, I will tell you right now, I'm not one of those people. Because I played 10 years in the league, I can tell you, productivity is what matters. Productivity, right? And you can run any play known to man, and if you execute it, if you got good players, the play will work.
Mm. I mean, Mike McCoy got Tim Tebow to the playoffs and won a playoff game. And I think he's been kind of riding that for a few years
I think you're right
now.
About it, yes.
And I understand
I don't know
why.
It was an amazing year, but you got to put that year in perspective too. I mean, the Broncos won the AFC West with an 8-8 record.
Yeah.
I mean, they were 8-5 and lost their last three games. And don't forget, Mike McCoy was also teamed up with Adam Gase, who is, I think, a brilliant offensive mind. So it wasn't like Mike was doing it by himself.
Yes.
And that defense was unbelievable that year.
Let me ask you.
Unbelievable, yeah.
Let me ask you about Vance Joseph, right? How many coaches were replaced from year one to year two?
I don't even know. From what? For the Broncos?
Yeah, for the Broncos, right.
Meaning Vance Joseph's hired last year.
I got you. They fired Eric Studisville, a running backs coach, Tyke Tolbert, wide receivers coach, Brock Olivo, special teams coach, and Mike McCoy.
So about five coaches?
It was unbelievable. It was a bloodletting, and we weren't sure how Joe Woods survived. And by the way, let me tell you, all those Vance Joseph's job, Joe Woods' job, I mean, everything was on the line last night for the Broncos. I mean, that was their Super Bowl. You know, like the whole Von Miller thing about kick their butt and all that, trying to be nice here.
Thank you.
That was all pre-planned. I mean, he talked about it with his teammates, like, are you guys okay if I do this? That had nothing to do with the Cardinals. Zero.
Right.
It had everything to do with just sort of getting his teammates going. That's how seriously the Broncos took this game.
This is Darren McKee, who you're hearing. He's the co-host of The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on 104.3 The Fan in Denver. Let me agree with you 95%, because when you say this wasn't about the Cardinals, I totally believe you that Von Miller was speaking to his teammates. But I don't think he's going to say that if this game was an Arrowhead. I don't think he's going to New England that. So I think it has a lot to do with the fact, well, since we're playing the Cardinals, I need to do this. And
bit of a cherry pick, Vaughn.
Yeah, yeah. Is that fair?
Let's face it. It's very fair. Let's face it. We'll see you guys in 8 years back down here, right?
Exactly.
That's how that goes.
Yeah.
It's not like we see you twice a year. And it's funny because in the preseason, the Broncos-Cardinals play every year, but Von Miller doesn't play.
Right.
Larry Fitzgerald doesn't play in that game. So if you were ever going to do it, you know, a non-conference road opponent. But by the way, too, and you saw it last night, and it's got to be a little disheartening, that was like a home game for the Broncos.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was allowed to happen. So the Cardinals got to look at things, and guys, this happened last year with Mike McCoy. You got to look at the top up. You can't just look at one scapegoat. You got to look at who's put everything together. That's less we're learning in Denver.
I think everybody is under the magnifying glass
absolutely.
Right now. I think we all know that. Darren, thank you.
Have a good show, Darren. Great effort.
All right, guys. Dilly dilly.
Thank
See you later.
There's Darren McKee joining us from 104.3 The Fan in Denver. My huge takeaway from what Darren said was really at the beginning. I mean, the parallels are unmistakable now, but to go deeper, he questioned and he was asking us whether or not we thought Steve Wilks really had the autonomy. I would say defensively, absolutely.
Yes.
I mean, when you bring in Al Holcomb with you, I mean, I think this is something Steve Wilks really has to wear. And that is the organization hired him assuming you're the right guy. You find the guy first.
The CEO.
And then I have no problem with him coming in and saying, I believe in this defensive scheme more than any other.
Yeah, no problem either, especially when you come from the Carolina Panthers.
Totally agree with him. However, I do believe he's doing a horrific job of saying, but this is who I have now.
Correct.
And I need to win with these guys now. When I say win, I don't mean the Cardinals should be 5-1, 6, you know, something
exactly.
like that. But what I mean is this should not be the worst defense in the NFL when they were just recently a top 10. Wilks has to wear that one. And therefore, I understand being a little bit patient until he gets guys that fit his system. But right now, Steve, your defense and your defensive coaching staff are doing one of the worst jobs in football at having these guys play your scheme. And that's on you. I mean, Deion Buchanan can't suddenly be 50 pounds heavier and be able to bench an extra 100 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you going to... He's a guy that's proven himself on the field. You got to figure out a way to make this work, and he has it. So I agree a lot with what Darren said, that this isn't all about Mike McCoy, but oh my gosh, Mike McCoy, you're going to have a hard time being an OC ever again, let alone a head coach.
So many questions going forward, right? What will the offense look like under Byron Leftwich?
Yeah.
How will this impact Josh Rosen going forward? Because I hate to say it, but when you're 1-6, it's about your franchise quarterback, period.
Well, then you can answer those questions next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.